Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
A new special Oireachtas committee may be set up to examine the issue of assisted suicide in Ireland. Now, I'm sure you've heard this talked about over the last year and a half or 2 years or so since the bill originally went past or through the Dáil. Now, it comes after the Justice Committee decided the proposed Dying with Dignity Bill is not workable in its current form. In other words, there's too many problems with the legislation. The bill would have allowed terminally ill people the right to medical assistance to end their life, similar to Switzerland. But the chair of the Justice Committee, James Lawless, said it is the technical nature of the bill that was flawed rather than the issue itself. The bill itself wasn't for purpose to progress. Unfortunately, as a piece of legislation, it didn't stack up. It wasn't robust enough. There were a number of drafting errors. There were a number of technical legal errors. And of course, you know, the Attorney General has to look at these things. I mean, for example, even with the legislation for Monday in relation to, you know, the COVID passes for restaurants, it's all well and good the President signing it. It's all well and good the Dáil passing it. But the Attorney General has to look at the written legislation and decide, right, can we be sued here? Is there a data breach here? Are we breaking some laws by bringing in this law? Could somebody take the government to court? All those kind of things have to be looked at when they're wording legislation. And obviously this is what James Lawless is talking about. He said, the chair of the Justice Committee. He said, you would really have to start from scratch again, but the bill, gut the bill and start again. By way of comparison, the New Zealand legislator passed a similar piece of legislation but ran to something like 240 pages. This particular bill was 4 or 5 pages long. So we said, look, it's a very important issue. Very glad we had the debate. Very glad we had the opportunity to look at it. But this needs to be done properly. Sponsor of the bill, People for Profit, TD Gino Kenny, says he will begin to redraft the legislation. Now, see, with the greatest respect to Gino Kenny and the greatest respect to most politicians, they don't all know the law. And when they draft a bill, they have to take into consideration the ramifications of the bill. Like, for example, one of the things that was said when we talked about the Dying with Dignity Bill in the past was there was no time limit. In other words, if a doctor said to you, you have a terminal illness, in many countries, that terminal illness must be fairly soon. In other words, the doctor would have to give some sort of impression that you only had, say, 6 months to live before you would be entitled to use the legislation. Whereas our legislation didn't have a time limit, from what I know. In other words, a doctor could say to you, you've cancer. It's terminal. But, you know, you could live for 2 weeks, but you could live for 10 years. And having formed that opinion, you would be entitled to use the legislation. And that was part of the problem with this particular bill. There was other aspects of the bill, too, that really weren't defined properly. And I think that's the problem with it. He went on, Gino Kenny said, I'm under no illusion that there's a lot of work to be done, but it can be overcome and all the issues which the OPLA, the Office of Parliamentary Legal Advisers, have stated, can be overcome. If accepted, a new committee could take another year to report, with Deputy Kennedy saying he is still hopeful of passing the new bill in the lifetime of this government. So obviously within the next 3 years. The bill was a sensitive one, which had support from campaigners like Vicky Phelan, Gail O'Rourke, who we've spoke to many times in the show, and Tom Curran, and the partner of the late Mary Fleming. Mary Fleming, of course, who went to court and went to the High Court for the right to die, where the judges decided under current legislation they couldn't allow her the right to die unless she literally starved herself to death. So the bill is, I suppose, designed for people who are terminally ill or people who are in a situation whereby their corpus mentis, it's not for somebody, for example, who's at the final stages of Alzheimer's and somebody else decides on their behalf that it's time for them to go. That's not what it is. What this bill is about is assisted suicide. You want to die and you want medical intervention to help you to die. That's really what the bill is about. Now, if there was a referendum, which there won't be, because I believe, well, that again is up to the Attorney General, and I suppose it's up to the Parliamentary Legal Advisers to decide that if we need to change the Constitution for it, and there may have to be a referendum, but it doesn't look like there will be. This may have to only go through the Dáil. But if there was to be a referendum tomorrow, I would like to know how you would vote on it. For example, there you are, you're in the polling booth, you've got a chance to say yes or no. Yes, meaning you want to change legislation and the law in this country to allow people to make up their own mind as if they want to die. Now, of course, suicide is legal. I don't recommend it to anybody, but it is legal. At one point in this country, it was illegal to take your own life. I don't know how that worked out too well, by the way, but it was illegal to take your own life in this country at one stage. It's not now. Although I suggest nobody ever does it. There's always a better way of dealing with problems in your life. But this bill would allow somebody to assist you. So I'll give you an example. Your mother or father has a terminal illness. They're 50, 60 years of age. They only have 6 weeks to live. They're in a lot of pain. They can turn around to a medic or a doctor and say, I want to die. I don't want to go through the pain for the next 5 or 6 months. That doctor, in turn, legally will have the right to give them an injection or give them a tablet or whatever it happens to be to help them pass away very quickly in their sleep. Similar to the way we do it with a dog, essentially. Although the dog obviously doesn't consent to it, we decide for the dog. A lot of people have used that comparison, by the way. We allow dogs to die with dignity, but we don't allow human beings to do it. Those who oppose the bill believe it's a rocky road. That sometimes these kind of bills or this kind of legislation makes people think their life is worthless. And they might be a burden on people, so it's easier if I just go. So mom or dad who's 60 or 70 years of age, who might have an illness, oh, so I'm a burden on the family, I probably should just go because my life is not worth it, the same as everybody else, because we have legislation, which more or less says that, because that's what this legislation says. Doesn't it really? That if you have assisted suicide, your life is worth less than somebody who's perfectly healthy. And before you know it, then we get into disabilities. And people are saying, well, if somebody has a bad disability, as a child did, by the way, in Europe, sure, let's give them the right to take their own lives as well, or let's give them the right to be assisted in dying. To put it in a hypothetical way very quickly before I go to our first caller. You're in a hospital and your mother or your father or brother or sister is in a bed and they're terminally ill. You know they've only got about 6 or 7 weeks to live. They're in pain. And they don't have the ability to use their hands or legs. Right? This is hypothetical, obviously. And there's a glass of water and two tablets on the counter. And they turn around to you and they say, son, daughter, you wouldn't do me a favour. You wouldn't help me to die peacefully. You wouldn't put those two tablets in my mouth and just feed me a drop of that water so I can go peacefully now, would you? Would you do it? Do you think you should be allowed to do that? People have tried it and tried to assist people to die in this country, but currently if you do that in this country, that's murder. And it's not manslaughter, it's murder, because it's premeditated under current legislation. But if this comes along, well, maybe you might be able to do it, but a medical practitioner would be able to do it. So would you agree with it? The number is 087-188-0008. Would you help that person to die? Edward, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Edward?
I'm not too bad.
Edward, it's a tough one, and I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of in the middle on this.
Well, the reason why you're divided is because there are a lot of scenarios that have to be addressed here. So you put three people in the room, and one says it's raining, one says it's dry, and the other says the sun is shining.
Mm.
So how do you get them all to agree? And the problem is, when it comes to families, it is all about agreement. But is that agreement the best decision that the agreement will make for the patient? Because you said it there, they're not medics. And I'm not saying that medics get it right.
Nope. They don't, not all the
time. Because let's be honest about this. The third leading cause of death in the Western world is medicines prescribed by doctors and dispensed by pharmacists. So therefore we know...
Hold on a second. Go back there, Edward, for a second. I'm curious about that. So the third leading... I don't know where did you read this? I know you're very much involved in the medical end of things, but where did you... So the third leading cause of death... Is what, overprescribed drugs or overdose or a mixture, a combination of medicines that don't kind of sit well together? Or what does that actually mean?
Well, it means that it's the third, if you go in to look at the stats or the statistics.
Well, the leading cause of death is heart disease, isn't it?
The third leading cause of death in the Western world, I don't know about where the West hasn't taken over, as in whether it be, they don't have toxic food, they don't have all these medicines. But the third, if you go and look at the stats, the third leading cause of death is pharmaceuticals.
Do we over-medicate? Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know...
Generally, sorry, I'm gone off on a bit of a tangent here, but...
I'm not your doctor.
No, but I'm just generally saying, do you believe that people over-medicate? I mean, are we taking too many paracetamols? Are we taking too many antihistamines? Are we because people pop them like Smarties, for God's sake. Are we over-medicating?
So let's look at that. And I would agree with you 100% there. Do we over-medicate in paracetamol? Absolutely.
Yeah, I rarely take paracetamol. Rarely.
I can't remember, and I'm a pharmacist, so I know this. I just want to say I know it. I have a pretty good idea on how toxic, yet people take them as if they've been told they're Smarties. And the fact is that they are severely toxic on the liver. Secondly, they're taking them invariably for the hangover the next day. So you have the alcohol damage in the liver. You probably have a mixer in the alcohol, which is damage in the liver. And then the next morning you have the paracetamol, which is damage in the liver. You go and speak to a liver doctor, and he would tell you that it's very much an elephant in the room.
Mm.
So that's that side. So coming back to your pharmaceuticals, you know, I have to say that the leading cause of death in the Western world has to be processed food.
Well, I know what you're going to say, Edward, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. But when we look medically, now hang on, just to clarify for people who are just a little bit confused by what you said, and I'll let you explain it in a second. But medically, the leading cause of death is heart disease, you know, stroke, cancer. But this is what I was coming to. You're going to tell me that processed food contributes to all those diseases and illnesses.
Well, okay. So let's go back and look at where all these doctors came from. All these doctors came from because back in the early 1900s, heart disease wasn't that common. In fact, if I remember doing some research on the number of cardiologists in the United States, say late 1890s, 1900s, it was definitely less than 100. Now we have over 40,000 cardiologists in the States, if my memory serves me correctly. Now, where has this come? Well, we're eating processed food. Obviously stress is a big thing, but processed food and the food that we're eating, because it's laced in chemicals.
Preservatives, emulsifiers, sugars.
Oh, God, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But look, if you can't look at the thing, you know, what is it? If it quacks like a duck and it looks like a duck, come on.
It's a duck.
But we can turn around and say it's the genetics and this and that and blah, blah, blah. When in actual fact, it's quite conclusive. We are killing ourselves with processed food and then with our lifestyles, and then we expect...
Well, then let me ask you a question. And we're gone off topic, but I'll come back to the topic in a second. Right? Can I ask you a question? If that is the case and you're telling me that it's processed food over the last particularly 40 years, right?
Well, that's a wee bit further, but go
okay,
on.
Okay, okay. Well, then why are people living longer now than we were living 60 years ago?
Well, there's a reason for that, is because now you're talking about a number. So you're talking about, if you actually go and look at in the States and the statistics in the States, they reckon that the life expectancy is going to go down, and they are the biggest consumers of pharmaceuticals in the world, and they eat the shittiest food in the world, and I say that with respect. The food is so toxic, it's unbelievable. So you're saying that everybody's living longer. Well, that's true, but are they living quality over quantity,
yes. So in other words, we're being kept alive, but maybe not in the best condition.
In fact, you're assisted dying.
Okay.
Do I want to be in pain? But then do I want my son, who's only interested in my £150,000, whatever?
Have you got that much?
Whatever. But Niall, the problem here is we need to start empowering ourselves to make decisions, correct decisions. You walk into a shop, whatever that shop is, and you're surrounded by processed food. It takes a very strong individual to be able to walk past all that crap. And that's what I call it, because I do. It took me years to perfect this, but I don't take that crap.
Oh, well, I do. I'm weaker than you. Edward, I need to get back to the topic. So, the hypothetical situation I gave before you came on the air, mom or dad who's sick or dying, or brother or sister who's sick and been given a terminal, you know, diagnosis, and they have 6 months or 6 weeks to live, and they turn around to you and they don't have the use of their arms and legs and say, Edward, see that glass of water and those two tablets over there? You wouldn't just pop them into my mouth and give me that sip of water so I can leave this world peacefully tonight. Would you?
Well, it's a very difficult one, because you have to understand, do I really know what's going on here medically? And assisted dying is already there.
Well, it's now, in the form of morphine.
Maybe not 6 weeks into dying, but it could be, like, we do look after people. We have
palliative care.
Yeah, but that is assisted, you know.
Oh, no, it is assisted dying, yes. To a degree, but it's not accelerated.
No, it's not accelerated. But then you're saying then, well, we not apply that to people who don't have proper brain function, of dementia or Alzheimer's.
No, but you can't do that.
Right.
No, so, and that part of the legislation, even the legislation that was being run to the Dáil and the Justice Committee looked at, there was no suggestion that somebody who had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's would be able to or would be allowed to avail of the legislation, because you're not corpus mentis. So you can't make it. There has to be a consensual decision. It has to be, you know, a conscious decision.
Well, look, I have been in a situation where a brother of mine passed away and they did turn off the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I have obviously experienced rigor mortis. I had never experienced that rhesus sardonicus, where it was the time at which he was passing. When they turned off that machine, I tell you, that was the toughest thing I have ever gone through in my life.
And many people have gone through that, do not resuscitate, essentially. And you're entitled to that, by the way, by law. You can have do not resuscitate, or you can have, if you're in that situation, that they turn off the machine. Again, that's not assisted dying. Because somebody could literally walk into a hospital and...
But that was somebody making a decision. Now, after he passed, I actually felt bad.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel guilty? I was relying on that doctor to be the expert, but she's not an expert. He's only an expert on the expertise that we have, but they get it wrong.
Oh, they do.
So I felt bad. I had to, as I always say, go and talk to the man in the mirror, because I felt really bad about that. So it is a very tough decision. There are a lot of legalities.
Ah, Edward, get off the fence. So you're there, you're in the polling station, if it was a referendum, and you have to vote yes or no. What would you do?
So, having prepared and knowing that this gentleman or lady who's begging me to do it, I actually think I would more than likely be the person who would vote yes.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Malachy. Malachy, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you doing, Malachy?
Good evening, Matt.
Malachy, I'm sure you were delighted today, because you were against the whole Dying with Dignity Bill anyway. So I'm sure you're delighted today that Gino Kenny's bill came before the Justice Committee and they decided that it wasn't workable.
Well, I'm glad that it's been
pushed. Kicked down the road.
And that's all it has.
Yeah.
But you see, the people who are pushing this won't stop, and they will continue to push this agenda. The very same people who have pushed every other agenda, whether it's abortion or other issues. But not one of them, Niall, had anything to say when old people were taken out of hospitals last year and put into nursing homes to die. There wasn't a peep out of one of them.
Absolutely.
Right? Which is disgraceful. So when these people talk about that they're concerned about sick people, or they're concerned about the elderly, or they're concerned about the quality of life, it's a pack of lies, and it's political opportunism.
And you don't think they genuinely have concerns about people who may be in a situation, who are in pain, in hospital, who are destined to die, and they want to die with dignity?
I think that there are very few people in Leinster House at the moment who have any concerns about anything other than their own political careers. They're not concerned about the general public. They're not concerned about the sick or the old.
I think that's unfair to suggest they're all in that.
I said there are very few who are concerned about the people, or just concerned about society. What we know is that they continue to vote for a raft of stuff that and bring up issues that the man in the street is not remotely concerned about. I mean, there is no big demand for this. No more than there's a demand to amend the Constitution to take the reference about women in the home out. There's nobody knocking down, ringing your radio station every day, Niall, and saying that this is the the greatest topic and the greatest problem we have.
But no matter what changes we have in law, and we always have to progress as a society. That's just part of life.
But we're regressing, Niall.
I very rarely ever see situations where people are knocking down the door of radio stations demanding we talk about certain things. Abortion would have been one of them.
Abortion was one of them. Yes. And gay marriage was another one.
Yeah.
But the general population wasn't. It was the political, the NGOs or the so-called NGOs and all of the...
I don't necessarily agree, particularly when it came to abortion. I think there was generally an appetite, and there has been for 20 years, Malachy, for that legislation to go to the people,
vote. Niall? Because the people were continually bombarded that they made a with the fact that they were told they made a mistake and that this was killing women.
What we do know, Niall,
is that almost 13,000 children have been killed since that legislation came in.
Okay, and well, that's the way you word it, obviously, as somebody from pro-life. In other words, there's been 13,000 abortions. Move away from abortion if you can for tonight, because I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But getting back to this particular piece of legislation, I mean, I'm genuinely on the fence on it. I genuinely don't know if it's the right or the wrong thing to do. I genuinely don't know if the sky will fall in or whether we'll end up in a situation 5 years where they'll loosen the legislation up even more. I understand probably what the issues were around the time frame, because there was a suggestion that there would be no time frame on it.
But hold on, has Malachy not got a point here?
In relation to what?
Well, is there really an appetite for this? I could give you more vital things to be
no,
talking
no,
about.
You're probably right, Edward. There isn't a queue of people trying to get on planes to go to Switzerland today.
No, but
right,
there is an NGO sector which is paid on an individual basis
and not given a clear blanket to everybody to say jump on it. McNeil, you know, we've wasted a year and a half, and we've created an incredible amount of fear in this country, which saddens me. And actually, that man has said there, I'd be worried for everybody in Doyle Éireann, because I have to tell you what they've done over the last 18 months is an absolute disgrace. Absolutely closed every business in Ireland.
There are many people who would disagree with you on that, but however.
Okay. So just let me point out, they've closed nearly lots of small businesses in Ireland. And yet,
The Dáil is supposed to be a debating chamber, and there was no debate on any of these issues. So, it's all very well and good if people, you know, come to a decision after discussing it, but that's not what happened. And what we have what message are we sending to our old people and our sick people now? We told them last year, we're going to stick you in a nursing home and you can die. Now we're saying, we're going to bring in legislation so somebody can put you down if you become inconvenient.
Really what they're saying, Malachy. Nobody suggested last year that we're going to put you in a nursing home so you can die. And I think that's very disrespectful to me. There are many older people that did die in nursing homes. But I do agree with you. I do agree with you that there wasn't much thought given to the decision of moving elderly people from hospitals into nursing homes.
Thought given to it, Niall. Don't fool yourself on that.
It was to make space in hospitals for patients that they thought were going to come at the time with COVID. And you're right, they made a huge mistake, and it was raised by Michael McNamara and Padraig Tobin as well.
Yeah.
They made a huge mistake by moving people untested at the height of COVID into nursing homes where the most vulnerable people were.
That decision was made by the HSE. One of the most defunct health systems in the world. Hold on a sec. Run by one of the highest paid civil servants in the world, who, you know, perhaps if he was to run the HSE, we see only last week again another problem with cervical smears that the Holohan told us a couple of years ago there was no problem with. You know, we're living in a
vitamin D
defunct
issue.
Society.
Mm-hmm.
And why do we bother saying to young people, why have we got Pieta House? Why have we got Light into Darkness or whatever it's called, raising millions, if we're going to say to people, it's all right to kill yourself?
But that's not what we're saying. What we're saying to people is, if you ever find yourself in a situation, what this legislation says, find yourself in a situation whereby you're diagnosed with a terminal illness, that you don't have to die in pain, that you can die
in
dignity.
Nobody dies in pain in this country.
Well, we've palliative care. Some people do die in pain.
Well, most people don't, unless you're lying on the road after a crash and there's no medical help there. Most people get palliative care.
But nobody wants to see a loved one, you know, in a hospital die over a period. You know, and you often hear people say, oh, thankfully he went very quick. You know, and people like that. People like the idea of somebody not lingering on for a long time and being very, very ill.
But
And by the way, nobody is suggesting in any part of any piece of this legislation that you can make a decision, Malachy or Edward or Niall, that we can make decisions for other people, because we can't. Under the legislation, you must make the decision yourself.
The decisions would be made on the basis of money and what it costs to keep that person alive. And
there's no suggestion of that in the legislation.
Hold on, this law will evolve once it comes in, as every other law does. And that's what will happen at the end of the day. This is about money, and this is about people saying to our old people, you're an inconvenience. So what, like, if your mother is sick and is going to live for 6 months, aren't you better with her living for 6 months?
Absolutely.
Hold on, Niall. This is the woman who wiped your arse when you were a baby, who looked after you when you couldn't look after yourself. So what we're now saying to our parents is, well, I'm sorry, I have to go to work, or I need to go out and do whatever I want to do, or I have too many responsibilities, and I couldn't be really bothered looking after you, so we'll get you put down.
That's not what you're saying.
That is what
they're
saying.
No, that's completely misrepresenting what dying with dignity is.
No, Malachy.
Edward, I just have to correct Malachy. You're misrepresenting what it is.
I'm telling you now.
No, you're not. Nobody is suggesting for any minute putting anybody down. The person themselves, let's give a fair analogy. Your mother is sick. She's been given a terminal diagnosis. She has fourth stage cancer. She's in hospital, and she feels she's in a lot of pain. She's struggling to breathe, as my mother did, by the way, for the last 2 weeks of her life. She's struggling to breathe, and she turns around and said, I'd rather go quickly in my sleep tonight. Would you ask the doctor to assist me to do that and do that piece?
Well, you see, these things are all very well in theory.
Well, that's the theory. That's the theory, isn't it?
That's not what happens in practice. And if you look at, again, when the abortion legislation came in, there was a review, in 5 years, where they're demanding more and more, which is what we said would happen at the time. And if this legislation comes in, there will be a review in it, and it will be widened. There's no...
Okay. Well, if anyone wants to give us a ring, by the way, the number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. You can WhatsApp or text us. Sorry, Edward. Edward, do you want to say something to Malachy there?
Go ahead. So I think this is a very valid point currently, that we moved a lot of the old age pensioners to nursing homes. And what happened? What happened was a lot of these people died.
Yeah, because there was a virus that targeted vulnerable people.
Just a different.
So somebody made a decision, right? Now somebody's making a decision on all those PCR tests to close down the country, and I have yet to hear what CT threshold we're using in Ireland that is making all these decisions.
Well, I can tell you the threshold, because Neffet have already announced, going back a long time, was 35 to 45. That was the threshold they said they used. I don't want to go back to... We're going into COVID, and I don't want to go into COVID tonight, Edward, if you don't mind.
Can you just so we sort this out? Because I can see there's a change, where if the law comes in, there can be somebody saying, well, could we go this way or could we go that way? It depends on what way you want to go. So there's a lot of malleability to it.
But you did say earlier on, if you were in a referendum situation, you'd vote yes to it.
I said, because you wanted me to make a decision.
Well, yeah, but that happens in a referendum. I want you to make a decision.
But it was either a yes or no. But the problem is, there's a lot of legalities, there's a lot of cultural issues. There's lots of things that you would have to clear or clarify in your head before you'd make that decision.
So stay there for a second, both of you. Let me go to Michael as well. Michael, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Michael?
Good evening.
Good evening, Michael.
How's it
going? Michael, would you vote yes if it was a referendum situation? I don't think it's going to be, but if it was a referendum situation to allow people to die with dignity?
I wouldn't.
No. You wouldn't?
Knowing the way the government are and the way things are, I wouldn't. No.
It's not a lot of trust in the government tonight, is there? We're on here.
I'm just being honest. I mean, it's all, you know, they've only used the whole someone's dying of pancreatic cancer, blah, 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 save them out of their misery. They're going to push that. That's going to be the only angle. Same with the abortion and everything else. Same with the gay marriage and all. There was no discussion. It's just they pick one little thing, that nice little golden nugget, and then they shove it down your throat, and then they get...
So they give you the worst-case scenario. Worst-case scenario.
No, they give you a little... They give you the best-case scenario in their
yeah,
case.
Yeah, in their case,
nice little golden nugget. And if you disagree, if you question it, you're a racist, you're a homophobe, you're an Islamophobe, you're a transphobe, you're a whatever else. And that's how they operate. And look, I don't know, if you think on this, if you had an honest, open conversation about this, I mean...
But this is an honest, open conversation, is it not?
No, I'm not finished yet.
Oh.
The amount of avenues and angles for abuse on this. I mean, I personally think it's a racket. They'll use it to... The amount of people out there that don't have families, elderly people that don't have families and stuff, they'll just kill you off, take your stuff, and then they'll move it down the line, and then they start killing off younger people. You're, like, you're dealing with psychopaths.
So do you think that if you were in that situation, and I mentioned earlier on the hypothetical situation, do you think that you would hand those tablets and the glass of water to somebody?
No.
You wouldn't?
Did you see the movie Silent Green?
No.
Okay, there's a movie called Silent Green with Charlton Heston in it. There's a scene in it where there's a euthanasia room, and they go in and it's basically... It's a nice room, and you've got these two weird people in a kind of robes, and they've got these screen in the background with all flowers and bunny rabbits and all this kind of thing playing, and it's all nice music playing, but they're killing you, like, and that's how they these people are. They make it out that it's a nice thing, but they're just killing you off and taking your resources. And it's about
it is a nice thing for some. I mean, sorry, just to get back to Maliki again. Maliki, I know there isn't people queuing at the airport to head off to Dignitas in Switzerland. You know, but in saying that, there are people who avail of the service. You know, and we saw Mary Fleming obviously go to the High Court here in Dublin. You know, we've seen numerous cases across the UK of people taking test cases. And yes, it is politically motivated, some of these test cases.
From any legislation that comes in, there will be a bigger demand for it, right? And what we also know is that from all of the opinion polls, this never comes up. People, this is not a cutting issue or an issue that people are concerned about at present. People are concerned about, for instance, housing and all of these other issues and the current state of the economy. They're not. This is distraction politics. This is so that we'll end up discussing these issues, and we won't discuss, for instance, the nonsense that passes for politics today. And it's done to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no... You know, what type of society are we trying to build? What are we saying to our young children? You know, we're saying that you can kill a child before it's born. You can put down your
Maliki,
but
see...
That's what we're saying.
I understand, but you are a supporter of pro-life, and that's the way you word it.
Yes.
Other people who are pro-choice don't word it like that, and they'll say,
they
no, it's just called abortion or termination of pregnancy.
Because they can't admit to themselves the reality of what
they're
that's
for, just right? your view of it. That's your view. Their view is different. Why do you find it, Maliki, don't get me wrong, I'm not disagreeing with you, and I respect your position as being pro-life, but why do you find it so difficult to understand that people hold a different position, and when they talk about that, they think about that aspect of life, of termination of pregnancy or abortion, differently to you? Can you not accept there are people who think about it differently? You don't have to agree with them.
Hold on. I know I don't agree with them.
No, you don't have to.
But, you see, there is no human being. If you even take a soldier out in the battlefield, he will admit that he is, as if he's killed people, that it's a person. He won't try and say, I used a very nice bullet to do it or whatever. You know, the reality and the end result doesn't change because of the language you use. At the end of it, in abortion, there is a dead child. And
unborn child. Go on.
Correcting
you.
Okay. If we look at, for instance, the bombing in Enniskillen, why do we always say the amount of people killed and a woman and two unborn children? Why do we say that if they're not children?
Well, that's just the way they worded it like that, Maliki. You know what I mean? Maliki, you're involved in the legal business. You're not a stupid man. And they word it like that to get people's attention. Yes.
So it's a child when it suits us. And it's not a child.
Well, it's a child if you're pro-life, and it's not a child if you're pro-choice.
Oh, no, hold on.
Yes, that's the way it is.
For instance, who are totally pro-abortion, will talk about two unborn children killed in Enniskillen.
All right, well, we're going back to abortion again. Stay there, let me just, because I want to bring Sarah in as well.
Just finishing the point there now.
Yeah, go on.
You see, the message we're sending to our children is, because once this comes in, it'll start off with the old people. Then it'll be younger people who have some kind of without being disingenuous, some kind of a deformity or a mental deficiency or whatever the current terms are. And it'll be people who, we can't put them into John of God's, that child there, because he'd be there for 30 years and the state will have to pay. So we may as well, you know, get rid of him.
You're jumping now,
eugenics.
Yeah, no, you're jumping now from water to whiskey. You know, you really are.
You can mix the two now.
Okay, well, stay there. Let me
the water brings out the flavour.
Yeah, I wouldn't be drinking whiskey and water. Sarah, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Sarah?
Hello, good evening.
Sarah, I mean, the idea of assisted suicide or dying with dignity or, you know, with whatever wording you find the most comfortable for it, I mean, would you vote for it?
Yeah.
Okay, and why would you?
I'm more connected to this on a personal feeling rather than how the government will do it.
Yeah.
I had a parent last year that suffered really bad with cancer.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry to hear that, by the way.
Thank you. It was a long, drawn-out process. We got to the end. Obviously, there was no help in the end. Nothing worked, like you said earlier, the morphine. I know we have the palliative care, but it got so bad that we couldn't transfer her from the hospital to the palliative care. And she really, really suffered. Was just in pain, ended up in an appy in a bed, memory gone, they stopped the feeding at the end. She got an infection, couldn't eat in the stomach, didn't treat the infection because they knew she wouldn't get through it. And to watch that is hard.
Yep.
The staff are great. The hospital was great.
But can I ask you a question? And, you know, this is a family member of yours, right? And did that person who was ill and who's eventually...
I don't want to go through that.
Well, this is the point I'm talking about. But did they not... I mean, it is a human instinct to fight for life and to fight to live. Did they not want to continue? I mean, at any point, did that person say to you, God, I'd rather be dead?
Yeah. You see, obviously we knew we were given a time frame between 3 to 6 months, and then it just went rapidly downhill, I mean, within a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But she'd been in pain for like 8-9 months. It was gradually... you know, trying to fight through it, but then it just got to the stage, just the last, I'd say, 3 weeks, just get me out of here, don't want to be here, I don't want to go through this, I want this to end now. Yeah, just wanted it over.
And we do to some degree. I mean, when you see mechanical morphine being used and a morphine pump being used, that essentially is assisted suicide.
Yeah.
Because what we are doing is we're pumping an overdose of morphine that eventually actually shuts down the organs. But it does make people pass away with less pain.
It does. Just what I saw was it didn't... It kind of just, to me, it just dragged the pain.
It prolonged it.
Yes. It kept a body... A person trapped in a body, just trapped in pain. That's what I thought.
I mean,
and all the functions just went one by one by one, and
so you believe if somebody was corpus mentis, and you know your family member decided, you know, close to the start of this, when they start to go downhill rapidly at the first instance, that they should be able to say to a doctor, "I don't want to go through 6 weeks of this. I don't want to go through 4 weeks of this. Can you give me an injection or a tablet now that I can pass away peacefully tonight in my sleep?"
I do, and I understand.
But would you have done that? Would you have done that, Sarah, to that family member if they said to you, and I gave the hypothetical situation earlier on, there's a glass and two tablets there, would you pop them into my mouth? Would you, you know, because I want to die. Would you have done that?
I would, and only because there was nothing left to help, and there was nothing to stop the pain and the suffering after trying things. I do understand what people are saying, you know. It's not an easy option. It's not just killing off people. It's not...
Well, Malachy believes it devalues life.
I do understand what he's saying, and I understand what he's feeling, but when I was there, I went through that. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, and I would do it. I would do it for my family members, and...
Let me go back to Malachy. Malachy, you've been listening there to Sarah, who had a family member obviously go through a very difficult passing. I mean, in those sort of situations, people obviously believe that they would much rather that person didn't have to go through the suffering.
Well, firstly, about my father, and my father-in-law died of cancer, you know, and they had a tough battle.
Why watch somebody die of cancer?
You know, and that took, you know, a period of time. But you see, that's not what we're looking for. What they're looking for is for society to say it's okay. And we know that with every law that has been brought in anywhere in the world, it will be expanded and it will be abused. And what you think it's for today won't be what it ends up as. And you cannot trust
you can't base all your decisions. And I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying, that all these laws end up being more liberal or becoming more liberal as time goes on. But you can't think about that every time we talk about or discuss a piece of legislation.
Well, you see, why don't we just say then, okay, well, let's bring in eugenics and let's go the whole hog and do it?
Because that would be ridiculous.
Why?
Well, right now that would be ridiculous.
That's where we're going.
Well, maybe that is where we're going in 20 or 30 years' time. But at this very moment in time, that would be ridiculous.
Why?
Well, because I think it would be ridiculous. I'm sure there are people who agree with it, by the way.
And there are. They just won't admit it. But that's the way they're going. And that's the way all of this legislation writes. And if you look at countries where they have allowed this, you know, it has moved on to young children now at 12 and 13, 14, deciding that they want to end their life because they have some illness. And their parents are agreeing with this in some case. And disagree, the medical people are taking over and carrying it out. You know, there have been a number of court cases in Scandinavian countries over this. You know, this is not a type of society. I want a society that values life.
Okay, sorry, Sarah. What are you trying to say? Sorry.
I was just trying to say, and he said, did he say, was it brother and father that suffered a cancer?
My father and father-in-law.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. But if you have someone that's after going through a year fighting...
They did.
Okay, so you're down to the last 3-4 weeks of life when they're in serious pain. Serious pain, the mind, they do not want to be up there anymore. Why keep them in a bed like that? In a nappy, not being able to do absolutely anything for themselves, pumping them with morphine 24 hours a day. Why keep them like that for 3 or 4 weeks?
Because that's the life that they have. You see, once you bring in this legislation,
I know,
then it will be opened up.
I know,
and it will come down to, as everything else in this country and in the Western world comes down to, it'll come down to money. And if Johnny, for instance, is injured in a car crash and there's no insurance to pay for his treatment, and he's in a coma, you know, he's not going to get treatment. He's going to be removed. You know, and that's what's coming.
Okay, well...
I do understand what Malachy is trying to say, but he's looking at the worst-case scenario. But, I mean...
You're looking at the worst-case scenario on the other side.
Well, no, I'm not, and I accept what you say, that all legislation that comes in eventually gets tweaked, becomes liberalised, and the kind of different...
Yeah, but surely to God this would have to be seriously regulated.
With respect to what Malachy said already, you know, we've had numerous pieces of legislation brought in and referendums over the last 20 years. And, you know, as we move forward in time, they get changed and changed and changed and more liberalised. To be honest with you, I think we will see it happen very soon. Yeah, okay. I think we will. And I think you know that, Malachy, don't you?
I think it's coming down the tracks, but I think we have to be opposed to it. And but these things have a time frame. If these things come in, the same as abortion, in the next generation or the generation after that, people will be saying, what did we do? Why did we let people do that? And we're talking about, you know, mother and baby homes today from 50 years ago. You know, in 50 years, people will be saying, what kind of lunatics were running around this country? In the early 2000s that allowed this to happen. And at least I'll be able to say, well, you know, I did what I could to try and stop it.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Tommy as well. Stay there, please, Sarah. Tommy, you're an Ireland's Classic Kid. Say to you and Tommy.
Hi, Niall. In one sense, I kind of be in favour of it in extreme circumstances. But the comments the other night came up with Niall about the older generation, I think you should retract that statement, please.
Which statement
about,
was that?
You know, about the older generation people. You know, about, what was it?
What did he say?
I think something about, you know, the children going out to work and that, and they can't look after the parents. They don't want to look after the parents and that, and say, you know, that sort of stuff he was on about.
I think that, with respect, Tommy, I think that was in reference to what I was saying earlier on, that the people who object to this legislation believe that this legislation would make older people feel less valuable, and that children, they think their children will think that they're a burden on them. I think that's the point he's making, but maybe Malachy was a bit more flippant in the way he worded it.
Yeah, it may have been. Yeah. That's the reality.
I'm wondering, Tommy, what particular statement he made that you want him to retract.
It's just the way he put it, more or less.
The way he worded it.
So you don't disagree with what I said, just how I said it?
It's totally... The way you put it was wrong, because it's not fair to say something like that about older people.
I wasn't saying anything about older people.
I mean, with the greatest respect, Tommy Malachy has been defending older people since he came on the air.
Okay, he might have defended, but the way he said the statement that... Okay, getting back to what you were saying, I would be inclined to agree with in extreme cases. If
right,
the person could not look after themselves in that, you know.
Okay, so in the case, say, like Mary Fleming, who is a very famous Irish case here.
Yeah, I heard that one, all right.
Yeah, and Mary, obviously, she couldn't feed herself, she couldn't look after herself, she had to be looked after by her partner. You believe in that kind of case, when if she decides she wants to die, she should be allowed to be assisted to die?
Because I think, as that other late Gerd said there, being pumped with morphine, their body is going to be able to take, first start, it's going to numb them, but then after a while, would have been pumped in so long and that the body's not, it's just going to, you know, like every other drug you take, your body's just not going to be able to cope with it.
No.
You know, your body just can't cope.
There's nothing worse. I mean, I completely understand, Sammy, what you're saying and what Sarah was talking about. And I witnessed somebody dying of cancer going back many years ago.
My older brother passed away nearly 2 years ago.
And you know what? I was there in a hospital and this person was gasping for breath.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I was thinking to myself, can somebody not put this poor man out of his misery? That's what I was thinking.
I live here in Galway. My brother was living in Wexford. He was in Outer Waterford Hospital for years and that. And it took a long while for them to find out what was causing the problem with his body and that. And it turned out he had serious syndrome. It was something to do with the white blood cells and cancer and that, you know.
Yeah.
And he was in Outer Hospital for years on end and that. But he was really treated with respect. He even, the staff, anytime I went down to him, the staff had praised, not but praise, because they said he never, never complained about his condition, you know.
Yeah, Malachy, just to get back to you, sorry, and all of a sudden, Sarah, as well. Malachy, in relation to the person that I witnessed dying going back many years ago, you said you witnessed people dying of cancer. I witnessed somebody dying, I think it was lung cancer the chap had, but he struggled to breathe for the last, say, 24 hours. And to watch this man go through what he went through, and genuinely the thought that was coming through my head, and I stayed there with another family member who was with him, and all the whole 24 hours consisted of him waking up every 5 minutes and going and making these incredible sounds, trying to get a breath of air. And I said, like, knowing that he was going to die, I in my own head I was saying, would somebody please help this man to just die?
I mean,
Malachy, would you not agree in those circumstances that's the way you'd feel?
Yes, of course. But, you know, we often feel things many times that, you know, you don't really want to put into practice.
And well, I would on that occasion, to be honest with you.
Well, you probably wouldn't have, Niall. When it comes to it, if this legislation is brought in, it will be brought in, and they will use the Fleming case and they'll use, you know, other emotive cases to get it in. When the reality is that once it comes in, it'll be carte blanche and it will be expanded. And that's the reality. And what we're saying to people, that your life is not as valuable as somebody else's, that you must be young and productive.
Do you see it like that, Sarah? Do you see what Malachy is trying to say?
Give me an example. Whose life is not as good as someone else's?
Exactly.
In what situation?
Well, anybody who will be a candidate for to be put down. I mean,
Malachy keeps saying that, but the legislation doesn't, and I can't see ever allow for somebody else making a decision for another person.
Niall, if I was to ask you 10 years ago, you would have said you couldn't envisage this type of legislation coming, or many of the other types of legislation that have come in. But the reality is...
But I suppose, over the last year and a half, nothing will surprise me, to be honest with you.
You said earlier that we must be progressive. We're actually regressing as a society because we're now prepared to kill and remove those.
The point that he's making is...
Those are people that have asked for this and have said, I do not want to go to this. I've nothing left that can help me. I've nothing else except endless suffering. I'm at the end of it. I cannot take it anymore. I just cannot do this anymore. So, no, you don't get the right to make that decision about your own body and what you're going through because you think...
Hold on. You can make whatever decision you want about your own body.
Well,
but
what this legislation
seeks to do is to get society to say it's okay. for you to do whatever you want. And I don't think it is okay.
Are you and me not society to make that decision whether it's okay to help
our family
member?
Sorry? Are you? Society is much bigger than me and you.
Yeah, but are we not part of it? Do we not contribute towards
that? Well, I'm not prepared to put somebody down.
Yeah, I mean, just finally, because I have to go into the breaks here, but I mean, just finally, in relation, actually, I tell you what, if you want to hold on, I have to go into a break, and I'm going to come back to you and Malachi after the break as well. Thanks, Tommy, as well. All right, just going to go back to Malachi very quickly, but in the meantime, I want you to have a quick think about this. We were talking about the office today, you know, in relation to a couple of cases that we'd spotted in the paper, you know, in relation to people who had committed serious crime, be it rape, paedophilia, murder. I'm talking about serious crime. I'm not talking about somebody who robs a loaf of bread. Would you give them a second chance? Or do they deserve a second chance? In other words, they do their time. They're 15, 20 years in jail and they get out. Do you believe they deserve a second chance at life? In other words, should somebody give them a job? Should they not be harassed on the street? Should they not be judged anymore once they serve their time? Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Or maybe you believe, well, sorry, you made a big mistake in your life, pal. Well, it's not a mistake. You made a decision to kill somebody, or you made a decision to rape somebody or abuse a child or whatever it happened to be. You don't deserve a second chance. You should have been killed, actually. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Sorry, Malachi, just to come back to you in relation to the Dying with Dignity Bill. Now, this particular bill, by the way, was quite a short bill comparison to, say, a bill similar to it in New Zealand, which is 240 pages. This particular bill was only 5 pages long. So I think it was a bit naive to think that it was actually going to get through this stage.
Well, when you consider that the same people who are promoting it are the same people who want to decriminalise and legalise drugs, you know, would you wonder, you know, if there's any intellect at all with them? I mean, it's a wonder that these people get elected, and it says something about the democratic process in this country.
Well, no, it does say something about politics and about the way we run a country when, you know, we have the chair of the Justice Committee, James Lawless, will look at it and say, well, off you go now, here's your piece of paper, you can take that off there and come back to me when you have it finished. So at least that is the proper process, isn't it?
Yes, yes, but I mean, that somebody would bring a bill which is clearly so full of holes.
Flawed. And unworkable.
Yeah, that, you know, and it's not that they don't have the expertise in, I mean, even independents all have the backup of the civil service there and all, you know, the legal departments and all of that, you know. But again, this is just gesture politics, and it's about populism, and it's about getting their name in the paper.
I don't know how that system works. If I'm a politician and, you know, I decide I'd like to bring a bill through the Dáil, Do I get the assistance, for example, of the OPLA, the Office of Parliamentary Legal Advisers? Do I get their assistance when I'm drafting that bill? Do I draft it myself, send it to them, they have a quick look over it and make a few tweaks to it, give it back to you? How does that, I don't know how that system works.
Well, all of the parties in the independent groups would have access to all of that. But the first thing you do if you are elected is you will employ one or two advisers that me and the rest of the taxpayers will pay for.
Yeah, well, they get well paid. Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Libby as well. Libby, you're an Ireland's classic hits. How are you, Libby?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Libby, I mean, this bill didn't make it past the Dáil today, but it will come back again maybe in a year's time. I mean, if it did go to, say, a referendum, or they had to have a referendum, or, you know, if, for example, you know, the Attorney General decided it needs to go to referendum, would you vote yes?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't, as long as the legislation was really kind of airtight, like what that guy Malachi was saying about laws always getting sort of more
liberal
as they go on, exactly.
Yeah.
I totally hear what he's saying about that, but I'm, you know, he keeps talking about we're asking society to make this decision, but actually it's not about the society's decision for the person. It's about the person's own decision for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
In other words, it's personal responsibility, yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, earlier on he mentioned people sort of with intellectual disabilities, da da da. Like, I work with adults with intellectual disabilities, and more laws come out every year to protect the rights of people, men and women with physical disabilities, intellectual disabilities. I can never, ever, ever see the society going towards, oh, well, that person, you know, doesn't have value, blah, blah, blah.
If this legislation comes in, come back on the radio in 10 years and we'll be discussing it being extended to those people.
When you say extended to those people, to give those people a right to make that decision, if indeed we believe they have the cognitive ability to do that, I wouldn't object to that, Malachi.
They would have the same rights as any other man and woman, you know what I mean? But like, I lost my dad 2 months ago and he, like, I'm so grateful every day that he didn't suffer because he wouldn't have been able to, you know what I mean? He just, as the person he wouldn't have been, what I wanted for him. But had he have gone on and he was sick for years and years, and the time had come that there was nothing else for him to do, like I would like to afford him the dignity of choice to make that decision for his life. It wouldn't be my decision for his life. It would be his decision for his own life. And I
don't disagree with you, Libby, but I think the point Maliki's making is we operate as a society. And as a society, we disagree with murder, we disagree with rape, we disagree with pedophilia, we disagree with speeding in a car, we disagree with all those things that are legal in this country, right? Mm. And we make those decisions as a society of how we believe our society should run. Now, if I want, I can go out and speed in a car tonight. You know, there's nothing stopping me from doing it unless I get caught by the guards. But to the point Maliki's making is that, you know, people do. Look, we already have morphine in this country, and, you know, people go on morphine pumps before they die. And usually that is to some degree assisted suicide or assisted death anyway. And palliative care, of course, helps people to have a nice passing, a peaceful passing, hopefully painless in most cases. But the point he's making is that if we agree to this legislation, we're essentially devaluing life. And I think that as a society, because it's OK. It's OK for us just to decide at some point, Asher, I'm out of here now.
No, that's fundamentally the opposite. But that's
just what he's saying. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I believe it's fundamentally the opposite. I think it's giving people the right to choose for themselves, and it's giving people the dignity to choose themselves. It's nothing to do with society making that decision for them. And I like, if it were a stage where we got to a society where like, oh, that person's not worth living, that person's not worth living, I would agree with what Maliki is saying, but that's not what this law would be doing, or that's not what I would hope that this law would
that's
be doing.
That's what it will evolve into.
That's what you're feared that it will evolve into, and I would share those fears, but that's not what we're talking about.
Well, then why would you open the floodgates?
Because we still should live in a society where we value people enough to let them, to afford them to make their own decision.
Well, then why do we restrict it then to people who are sick? Why do we not just allow suicide in general?
Well, we do allow suicide. Suicide is not illegal in this country. I don't believe it's an option. It should be an option for people. I mean, they should think about that option always, but it's not illegal. It was at one point in this country.
Yeah,
well, it was the only crime that if you were successful at, you couldn't be prosecuted for.
For me, it would be kind of the strict things where you're sort of end of life anyway. You're within a palliative care. And I mean, like my dad was in a palliative care. So he had everything. He had psychologists, he had psychiatrists, he had physios, he had consultants, nurses, everything, you know, medical professionals, never mind.
But there was nothing in this bill to say that it was restricted to palliative care, people who were in palliative care.
See, I think the problem with this piece of legislation, Libby, was, and we talked about it at the time when the bill was first went through the second stage of the Dáil, that, for example, when they talked about being diagnosed with a terminal illness, there was no time limit on that. You know, a doctor could say to you tomorrow you have a terminal illness, but that doesn't, he might say you might live 10 years or 20 years. And they didn't want a time limit on it. In other words, you might have 20 years left in your life.
Yeah, and I would probably disagree with that. I'd be with Maliki.
Well, then you would disagree. Well, then you would disagree with this bill because that's what this bill said.
Potentially, but if we're talking about just the point of the, you know, assisted.
Yeah.
I'm
losing your line there, Libby. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. Sorry.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. However, you want to. I would agree.
We've lost Libby's line altogether. I do apologise, Libby. And Maliki, I've lost you. I haven't lost you, but I've let you go. Listen, thank you, Maliki, for staying with me so long. Libby, I do apologise for losing your line there, but unfortunately it became illegible or inaudible. Probably the word. Anyway, I need to move on. And I didn't mean to cut Libby short, but clearly Libby would be against the idea of the legislation being extended that far out. She would agree with the legislation provided it was foolproof in relation to the restrictions around it. I think that's the point she was trying to make.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.